ओम ज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंदेहं श्री गुरुः श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्पुषे नमः। पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। आराध्य भगवान् व्रजेशतनयस्तद्धाम वृंदावनम् रम्या काचिदुपासिना व्रजवधू वर्गेणया कल्पिता श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रमाणममलं प्रेमपुमार्थो महान् श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदं तत्रादरः न परः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। One of the most important things that the world needs is to have role models in every respect, in every field. We need people who are ideal, who can set an example in different spheres of activity in life. In the political world today, there is great commotion and chaos because we don't have ideal kings, ideal presidents. Public leaders, state leaders do not understand their responsibilities, their duties. They do not understand what kind of qualification is required to occupy such high seats where they're responsible for governance over millions of people. So therefore, we always look for role models of good leaders, kings. In the scriptures, we have so many such examples. But many of these examples from the Puranas relate to times that are very ancient, in the bygone ages, thousands and thousands of years ago. Perhaps we have examples of Maharaj Yudhishthir and Parikshit who were perhaps only 5,000 years ago, but still that's a very long time. We need examples in more recent history of Raj Rishis, saintly kings. Because unless there are saintly kings, there is no question of the citizens taking to the path of spiritual development. There is a saying, Yatha Raja Tatha Praja. As is the king, so will the citizens be. Because the citizens follow in the footsteps of the king. Whatever standards he sets, whatever culture he creates, the citizens will follow. And today's public leaders, generally speaking, are devoid of spiritual values, even moral values. Therefore, the citizens are moving towards a very precarious condition of life, in this life and in the next. In recent history, we don't have so many examples, just a few. Hare Krishna. And one among these examples is Maharaj Pratap Rudra, who lived in Jagannath Puri and around as a contemporary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not only was he a very able statesman, he was also a very brave warrior on the battlefield with a long history of martial exploits and exhibitions of valor. But above all, he was also a great devotee of the Lord, a very close associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although Mahaprabhu could not exhibit such intimacy towards Maharaj Pratap Rudra because of the latter's being a king and the former being a sannyasi, at least in external life. But nevertheless, he is considered amongst one of the associates. He is considered one of the branches, sub-branches of the Gadadhar Pandit tree. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has mentioned all the leading associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has explained that while Madhavendra Puri is the root or is the seed of the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the trunk, there are many branches, and he describes many of the associates of Mahaprabhu in terms of these branches, the first branch, second branch, 50th branch, and so on. So one of these branches is the branch of Gadadhar Pandit, and Maharaj Pratap Rudra belongs to this particular branch, according to Kaviraj Goswami. Now Maharaj Pratap Rudra belonged to a family of kings who had a very distinguished record in matters of state as well as in spiritual life. Maharaj Pratap Rudra, like his father and grandfather, ruled from Katak in modern-day Orissa, around, very close to Jagannath Puri. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra's kingdom extended into the south part of, southern part of the country, into Andhra Pradesh, even up to the present-day town of Rajahmundry on the banks of the Godavari River. Formerly, there were kings of the Ganga dynasty who ruled in Katak, in Neelachal. last king in this Ganga dynasty was called Kajjala Bhanu. Correct? And this Kajjala Bhanu was actually deposed by his minister, whose name was Kapilendra or Kapileshwar. When the king had gone out to war, Kapilendra, the minister, took over the kingdom. And from that point started a new dynasty called the Gajapati dynasty, which has now become very famous, and that the king, the descendants of this dynasty still exist today. And after that came, after King, this particular founder, Kapilendra, who married a lady called Parvati, and they had a son whose name was Purushottam Deva. Purushottam Deva was also a very great devotee of the Lord, very brave, a wonderful king. He married Padmavati, the daughter of the king of Kanchi, and their son was King Prataparudra, whom we are going to talk about today. The position of the king in Orissa has always been held with high regard and esteem. Even today, when the monarchy is no longer existing and we have democratically elected leaders, yet the descendants of the kings are still addressed as the king, even though they don't have that power, the executive power, but they still have that respect, and the people address them with that title. And they have many ceremonial duties to perform in public life as the descendants of the former kings. And especially in relation to the Jagannath temple and the festivals there, they play a very important role. For example, every time there is the Rath Yatra, every year, it is the descendants of the kings who actually comes forward with a golden broom to sweep the floor, the road in front of the Rath of their lordships, Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. And he is given that privilege and that honor to be the first one to sweep. And then when he does it, then the Rath Yatra actually commences. So in this way, the kings have been given great honor. Even today you will find this tradition being followed. Maharaj Prataparudra, it is said in the Gaura Ganudesha Deepika, was Maharaj Indrajumna in the previous life. Or rather, that Indrajumna who lived at Avantipur has reappeared as King Prataparudra. As we all know, it was King Indrajumna who sent out his chief minister and priest Vidyapati to search for the deity of Neel Madhav, the news of which the king had heard with great devotion and anticipation. And then the Lord Jagannath, at that time in the first half of the life of Brahma, in the first 50 years of Brahma's life, had appeared as Neel Madhav. Subsequently he appeared as Jagannath in this particular form in Nilachal. That very Indradumna has appeared, according to Gaura Garudesha Deepika, as Maharaj Prataparudra. But even in this particular life as Maharaj Prataparudra, it is interesting to trace out his ancestry, at least for the previous generation, that is his father, Purushottam Deva. There is a very interesting and much recounted story in Orissa about King Prataparudra's father, that is King Purushottam Deva. He was a great devotee of Lord Jagannath and a great warrior. And it is said that whenever he went to fight in the battle, in the battlefield, Jagannath used to come to fight also along with him to support him. One time it so happened that King Purushottam Deva was supposed to be married to the daughter of the king of Kanchi. And the king of Kanchi had come because he wanted to meet his to-be son-in-law. And it so happened that it was the day of the Rath Yatra. The king of Kanchi stood there. He had a privileged place in the Rath Yatra naturally, being an invited guest of the king. And the king took up his golden broom and began to sweep the road in front of the cart. Now, the king of Kanchi was a demigod worshipper. He was a worshipper of Ganesh. And he didn't have faith in Jagannath. He didn't understand anything about Krishna consciousness. So when he saw King Purushottam Dev sweeping the road, he thought, this is not at all good. This king is sweeping the road like a Shudra. Sweeping the road is the work of a Shudra, not of a Kshatriya. I don't want to marry my daughter to a Shudra who is sweeping the streets. This is an action not befitting a great king. The king of Kanchi had been a little arrogant and proud. So he thought that anyone who can lift a broom and sweep the road like this is not worthy of being the husband of my daughter. Because he didn't understand anything about devotional principles, he didn't understand what a great fortune and honor it was for Purushottam Dev to be the one to sweep the road in front of Lord Jagannath. So then he cancelled this marriage and he returned to Kanchi. King Purushottam Dev felt that this was a great insult to Lord Jagannath. It was an outrage. And he understood that the king of Kanchi had been very proud and arrogant of his own wealth and position. And for the sake of keeping up the dignity of Lord Jagannath, King Purushottam Dev felt himself obliged to go there and teach that king a lesson. So he embarked from Katak or that area, Puri, and proceeded with his army towards the south, towards Kanchi. At the first battle, he was not successful. His soldiers could not emerge victorious. And he came back. And this time he lamented. And he remembered that he had not taken the blessings of Lord Jagannath before he left. So he returned to Puri, prostrated himself before Jagannath, begged for forgiveness for his lapse, and also begged for the Lord's mercy that he may be able to now defeat the king of Kanchi, to avenge the insult to the Lord that had been given by the king of Kanchi. Jagannath gladly blessed him and instructed him to go. So he again began his journey back towards the south with his army. At that time, some distance away from Puri, he met one lady on the way. She was selling butter, yogurt, milk and so on. She approached the king and said that two of your soldiers had come and they had taken this yogurt and milk and butter from me and they did not have any money with them. So they have given me this golden ring and they have given me a message that when our king comes, you please hand over this ring to him. And then in exchange for that ring, he will give you money sufficient to pay for whatever milk and butter you have given us. So when King Purushottam Dev saw the ring, he understood immediately that the two people who had come and met this lady were none other than Jagannath and Baladev. And that actually they had gone ahead and they had fought the battle on his behalf. And when he proceeded ahead with a firm conviction that the battle was his conviction turned out to be true and he emerged victorious. and he returned triumphantly back to Jagannath Puri, to Katak. And very soon, the king of Kanchi came with his daughter, now suitably chastened, and he handed over his daughter Padmavati to King Purushottam Deva. The marriage took place, the king of Kanchi returned, and in this way Purushottam Dev married Queen Padmavati, and their son was King Prataparudra. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita also there is a mention of King Purushottam Deva and his queen, and this is in connection to the story of Sakshi Gopal. I think every one of us has heard this very famous and popular story of Sakshi Gopal. It doesn't need to be recounted now. But you all remember that when the young Brahmana returned from Vrindavan with Gopal behind him, when the young Brahmana was in the outskirts of his village, which was Vidyanagar, which was on the banks of the Godavari in present-day Andhra Pradesh, the deity of Gopal stopped moving. Gopal had given a condition that he would walk only so long as the young Brahmana would not look back. So when the Brahmana did not hear the tinkling or the jingling sound of the ankle bells of Gopal, he went on for some time, but afterwards he became a little anxious. He was thinking, perhaps the deity has stopped somewhere, what has happened? The deity was actually walking. Then he looked back, but the moment he looked back, the deity stopped moving and he remained there. But by this time, since they had already reached the outskirts of Vidyanagar, then the Brahmana was asked by the deity to go and call all the villagers. With great joy, offering obeisances to the deity of Gopal, the young Brahmana ran in, called all the villagers. And even the old Brahmana came along and offered prostrated obeisances to the deity of Gopal. And there, at that very spot, in front of all the villagers, the deity of Gopal bore witness to the words of the old man in Vrindavan, in the temple of Gopal, that he would hand over the daughter, or hand over his daughter in marriage to the young Brahmana. Everybody was overjoyed that the Lord had personally come to bear witness. And because of this, he was henceforth known as Sakshi Gopal. Sakshi means witness. That Gopal who bore witness for his dear devotees. So Sakshi Gopal continued to be there in a temple in Vidyanagar. Much later, when King Purushottam Dev, the father of Prataparudra Maharaj, was expanding his kingdoms, he had moved well into Andhra Pradesh and up to Vidyanagar. And at that time, being a great devotee, he saw this beautiful deity of Gopal and was very captivated by Gopal's beauty. His queen Padmavati also was a devotee. So both of them were very, very happy to see the deity, and the king actually requested the deity to come to Orissa, to Neelachal. And these things are described very nicely by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. The local king had constructed the temple, but when Maharaj Purushottam Deva came there, at that time he overcame this king, established his suzerainty over this new land, and then he came in front of the deity of Gopal. Purushottama Deva Shri Bada Bhakta Arjya Gopala Charane Mage Chalamora Rajya. King Purushottama Deva was a great devotee and was advanced in the civilization of the Aryans. He begged the lotus feet of Gopal, "Please come to my kingdom. Chalo Mora Rajya. Please come. come with me to my kingdom. Tara bhakti vashe gopal tari agya dilan gopal loya she katake aila. When the king begged him, to come to his kingdom, Gopal, who was already obliged for his devotional service, accepted his prayer. Thus the king took the Gopal deity and went back to Katak. At that time, King Purushottam Deva, when he had emerged victorious in the battle over the king of that place, he had also taken away a very valuable throne called a Manikya Singhasan. Singhasan means a throne. Manikya, a very valuable throne made of precious stones and jewels. So he had this very valuable throne and also the deity. So upon returning to Jagannath Puri, the king handed this over, this throne, to Lord Jagannath. And he also established the worship of Gopal, Sakshi Gopal, at a place near Katak in a very wonderful way. The temple still exists on the outskirts of Katak. Many devotees, I'm sure, have visited. Those who have visited Jagannath Puri may have also gone to Katak and seen the deity of Sakshi Gopal. So when the deity was installed there in Katak, Queen Padmavati went to take darshan. And she was very happy to see this deity. And she was thinking, what kind of presentations can I make to Gopal? And she presented him with many, many ornaments in great devotion. And then the queen thought, I have this very valuable pearl which she wore on her nose. And she thought, I want to present this to Gopal. But I do not know whether there is a hole in the deity's nose where you would put the pearl. So if there is such a hole in the nose, then perhaps I could give this pearl as an offering to Gopal and he could wear it. Then she offered her obeisances to Gopal and returned to her palace. That night she had a dream, and Sakshi Gopal appeared in her dream and said that during my childhood, my mother had made a little hole in my nose so that I could get some ornament. So with great endeavor, my mother was successful. It was not easy, but she did it. The hole is still there in my nostril. So now you can come and set the pearl there and give it to me. So the queen woke up and she told her husband Purushottam Deva that this is what Sakshi Gopal is saying. So immediately the king and queen rushed there, and they saw that sure enough there was a hole in the nostril of the king, and they placed the pearl there on the nostril, and then a great festival was celebrated there. And since then the deity of Gopal has been there in Katak, receiving the worship of so many thousands of devotees who come, and he has been known as Sakshi Gopal. So this was the great Purushottam Deva, who was the king of Utkal, Nilachal at that time. He ruled until 1497. We must remember that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in 1486. So from 1497, his son Pratap Rudra became the king. And Pratap Rudra ruled almost till another 30 or 40 years. And by the time Mahaprabhu had already disappeared. So he remained there until after Mahaprabhu's disappearance. So in various scriptures, like in the various books written by the great devotees, there is mention about Maharaj Pratap Rudra. For example, in Ramananda Rai's Jagannath Vallabha Nataka, Ramananda Rai states that Maharaj Pratap Rudra was a very powerful warrior, very brave. He was very mighty, and yet his demeanor, his behavior was very humble. That made him stand out. generally, bravery is displayed in the right place, not in the wrong place. One has to be brave with the right kind of opposition, in the right situation. Power and might cannot and should not be used to exploit weak, those who are weak. Rather, it should be used for the defeat of those who are oppressing the weak and those who are following the path of irreligion, adharma. So King Prataprudra was an ideal example of how physical power, military power, should be used. In his personal dealings, and especially with the devotees and with his citizens, with his ministers and so on, he was extremely humble. Also in Kavi Karnapur's Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka, a similar thing is mentioned. There is some description of Maharaj Prataprudra's military exploits. And it is also stated there that he was a very liberal Vaishnav. He was given to learning. He was given to promotion of Vaishnavism, the Krishna consciousness. He was also a great protector of Brahminical culture. And he adored Vaishnavas. It is said that Maharaj Prataprudra also had some books to his name, like Saraswati Vilas, Pratap Martanda, Kautuk Chintamani and Nirnay Sangraha. So in this way, Maharaj Prataprudra he exhibited all wonderful traits in all different areas, aspects of his personality. It is said that he had 5 wives. The Patta Mahishi, or the main wife, her name was Gauri, and she bore him 5 sons, the eldest of whom was Purushottam Jana. And the names of the other 4 queens were Padmini, or rather Padma, Padmalaya, Ila, and Mahila. In this way, Maharaj Prataprudra led the life of a Kshatriya. But even as a Kshatriya, he showed how to be an ideal Vaishnava. But because he was in the body of a king, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not show him much intimacy from an external point of view. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first came to Jagannath Puri, not many people had heard about him. He lived there for some time. He transformed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and many others. And very soon thereafter, he proceeded to South India. And he returned after several months. In the meanwhile, King Prataprudra, he came to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and wanted to know about this great personality who had just come to Jagannath Puri. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains the whole conversation that took place between Maharaj Prataprudra and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Now we all remember that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the court advisor, the Pandit, the great scholar of the court of Maharaj Prataprudra. His scholarship was profound. He was very, very well respected, and he was like Brihaspati personified. The king used to hear regularly from him, but Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a Mayavadi. He believed in the impersonal philosophy of Shankaracharya, and when Mahaprabhu came there, he made him a devotee. He showered his mercy upon him. And at this time, when the conversation is taking place between Maharaj Prataprudra and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the Bhattacharya has already become a convert, a fixed up pure Vaishnava. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed for South India from Jagannath Puri, King Prataprudra called Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to his palace. And when he arrived, The king offered him a nice seat with all respect that was due to a great scholar, Pandit like Sarvabhauma, and he inquired about the news of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, "I have heard that a great personality has come from Bengal and is staying at your home, and I have heard that he is also very, very merciful. I have heard also that this great personality has shown you great mercy and favor. At any rate, this is what I am hearing from others. Now, be merciful upon me. You should arrange for an interview for me with this great personality." Maharaj Pratap Rudra was basically a Vaishnav, a very devout soul. So, because he was very cultured in the devotional path, he also wanted to have darshan with this great personality who has come, this great Krishna Bhakta, who has just come into Jagannath Puri. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied that what you have said is true. A great personality indeed has come, but it will be very difficult for me to arrange an interview for you with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the renounced order of life and he is very detached from worldly affairs, and even in his dreams he does not grant interviews to kings. So what more can I say? I still, because you are the king and you are such a devoted soul, I would have tried to arrange an interview for you somehow or other. But the point is that the Lord has already left for Jagannath, for South India. So the king asked, why has he left Jagannath Puri? And Bhattacharya replied, Mahantara ei eka lila. Such are the pastimes of a great personality. Great saints go to holy places of pilgrimage in order to purify them. For that reason, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is visiting many tirthas and delivering many, many conditioned souls. Actually, Mahaprabhu had no reason to visit the holy places apart from the fact that he wanted to deliver everyone. Going to holy places for one's purification is required for those who want to be pure, or those who are already impure, those who want to progress on the path of religion and spiritual life, for those who are experiencing the happiness of devotional life also like to go to holy places. But for the Lord, there is no such reason, no compulsion for him to go. But he went actually only for delivering the peoples of those lands. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya quoted this famous verse that was quoted by Maharaj Yudhishthir to Vidur when Vidur came there. Bhavad vidha bhagavatas tirthi bhutah svayam vibho tirthi kurvanti tirthani svantah sthena gadabhratah. He says, oh my dear Vidura, saintly personalities like you are walking, talking places of pilgrimage. Actually, wherever you go, that place becomes a place of pilgrimage. And it purifies the places of pilgrimage. Because when sinful people visit holy places, they do so to get rid of their sins. So the holy places, in particular the rivers and kums and so on, they become burdened with so much of sin. But when great Vaishnavas go to such places and bathe, then they counteract and they diminish the burden of sin that is there, that has been deposited in these holy places by sinful people. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, is not an ordinary living entity, but he is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, he is a fully independent controller. Yet in his position as a devotee, he carries out the activities of a devotee. That is why he has gone on a place of on a pilgrimage. So the king persisted, I accept that, but still, why have you allowed him to go there? Why didn't you fall at his lotus feet and beg him to stay back here in Jagannath Puri? So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, Bhattacharya kahe tehu swayam ishvara svatantra sakshat shri krishna tehu nahi paratantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Himself, and is completely independent. Being Lord Krishna Himself, He is not dependent on anyone. Still, I endeavored very hard to keep Him here, but because He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and completely independent, I was not successful. So then, because he had heard now Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya addressing or speaking about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna, as God, so very faithfully King Prataprudra told Maharaj Pratap, told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "Oh my dear Bhattacharya, you are the most learned and experienced scholar I know. Therefore, when you address Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Lord Sri Krishna, I accept that as truth. The fact that you are telling me this is sufficient for me. So I will also accept from today that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returns, I wish to see him just once in order to make my life and my eyes perfect." So then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied that His Holiness Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will return very soon. I wish to have a nice place ready for Him, a place that is solitary and peaceful, and yet a place that is very close to the Jagannath temple so that He can come and go very easily. So Sri Chaitanya's residence should be a very nice place. O King, can you please make arrangements? So the King was very, very happy to get an opportunity to offer this service to someone who he learned just now was the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not just an ordinary sannyasi or a devotee. So he said, "Kashi Mishra's house is exactly what you require. It is near the temple, it is very secluded, and it is calm and quiet." Now elsewhere in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has said that Kashi Mishra was also like the guru of King Prataprudra. And the king would often go, practically every day in the afternoon, he would go there after finishing his royal duties for the morning, and he would massage the lotus feet of Kashi Mishra. And then he would ask him, "My dear Brahmana, please tell me, how is the activities in the Jagannath temple going on? How is everything there? How are the affairs being managed? Is everything all right?" So King Prataprudra held Kashi Mishra in great esteem. And now he said, "Kashi Mishra's house, which is just very close by from here, it would be an ideal place. Because it's very close, so Mahaprabhu will not have difficulty walking here. He will be here in only 2 minutes. And at the same time, even though it's very close, it's also a little solitary. It's peaceful, calm and quiet. So Mahaprabhu will be able to take rest nicely without being disturbed by the people on the street. That place is known as Gambhira. How many of you have been to Gambhira? To the holy place where Mahaprabhu actually lived. It is said that from Kashi Mishra, the rooms were taken over by Vakreshwar Pandit. And Vakreshwar Pandit maintained them for some time, and after him his disciple, Gopal Guru Goswami, he managed and he was there, and he then established the temple of Radha Radha Kanta in that place. The deities are still there. And there is one room there in Kashi Mishra's residence, which is called Gambhira. In Orissa, one room with a small veranda, that kind of structure is called a Gambhira. Am I right? So, I do not know the Odia language, but this is what I believe I was told. It's about one room with a veranda that's called a Gambhira. So that place where Mahaprabhu stayed was called a Gambhira. So then, having made this proposal, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very satisfied, and he went to Kashi Mishra to communicate this proposal from the king. Kashi Mishra was definitely very, very happy to hear, and he said, "I am very fortunate that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord of all Prabhus, will stay at my home. So in this way preparations were done and everyone in Jagannath Puri was eagerly waiting for the day when the Lord would return to Jagannath Puri. And when the Lord returned, this is stated in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is not here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that King Pratap Rudra approached Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had already indicated to him that Mahaprabhu may not grant an interview because of his being a sannyasi and Maharaj Pratap Rudra being a king, but nevertheless he would make a proposal. And we'll talk about the Chaitanya Bhagavat pastime maybe after this one. So we'll just read first here in Chaitanya Charitamrita the attempt that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya made to influence Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give darshan to Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And he first went up to Mahaprabhu and asked him to give him permission to submit a proposal without fear. Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was feeling a little apprehensive, a little fearful. He knew that Mahaprabhu wouldn't like the proposal. So he said, please give me permission to make a proposal without fear. So Mahaprabhu said, yes, of course. But Mahaprabhu qualified that remark. He said, yes, you can speak without fear. But he said that he would accept the proposal only if it was suitable, and if it was not suitable then he would reject it. Mahaprabhu is the Lord himself, so he understands what is going on in everybody's mind. So of course he understood what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had come for. So right in the beginning he mentioned like this. So then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya started saying that there is a king named Pratap Rudra. And he is very anxious to meet you and he seeks your permission. As soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this proposal, he immediately covered his ears with his hands and said, my dear Sarvabhauma, why are you requesting me to do such an undesirable thing? Since I am in the renounced order of life, it is dangerous for me to meet a king as it is to meet a woman. To meet either would be just like drinking poison. And then Mahaprabhu quotes this shloka. Nishkinchinasya Bhagavat Bhajon Unmukhasya, which is very famous. I wish we could have had it. Maybe tomorrow we can photocopy it and everybody can chant it also tomorrow. Basically the meaning of this verse is Mahaprabhu is lamenting. Alas, for a person who is seriously desiring to cross the ocean of material existence and engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord without material motives, seeing a materialist engaged in sense gratification or seeing a woman who is similarly interested is more abominable than drinking poison willingly. So I cannot associate with sense gratifiers, my dear Sarvabhauma. And the king, being a king, must be a sense gratifier. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, my dear Lord, what you have said is correct. I have no dispute with that. But this king is not an ordinary king. He is a great devotee and servant of Lord Jagannath. So he is not like other kings. So please make an exception. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, although it is correct that the king is a great devotee, he is still to be considered a venomous snake. Similarly, even though a woman be made of wood, one becomes agitated simply by touching her form. Just as one is immediately frightened upon seeing a live serpent, or even the form of a serpent, one endeavoring for self-realization should similarly fear a materialistic person and a woman. Indeed, he should not even glance at their bodily features. And then Mahaprabhu exhibited externally a little bit of anger. He said, Bhattacharya, if you continue to speak in this way and try to persuade me to meet a king, then you should know that I will go away from here. I do not like to hear such things. You should never speak like this when you come here to see me. And no such request should ever come out from your mouth. Being afraid, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya went home. He was quite shaken up because the Lord had spoken so sternly. He said, never again do I want to hear such a proposal coming out from your mouth. So Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was quite shaken up. And at that time, he went back and began to meditate on this whole situation. Meanwhile, Maharaj Pratap Rudra, and this incident is there in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, he approached Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Alright, if the Lord is not willing to see me, will you arrange for me to at least see the Lord sometime? He need not see me, but I want to see him. And I will see him from a distance, so that he doesn't even notice that I am seeing him. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya discussed with the other devotees, and they made a plan. They said, yes, one day we will arrange for this great devotee of Jagannath to have darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one day when Mahaprabhu was dancing in Sankirtan very ecstatically, the devotees headed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sent for the king, and they made him stand at a distance and see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in such a way that that Mahaprabhu would not be able to see the king. So the king was hiding and gazing at the beautiful form of Mahaprabhu as he was dancing in great ecstasy. The king had never seen anything like this before. And he began to gaze with wonder. Mahaprabhu used to jump high in the air, and then he would fall down with such a loud thud that the devotees became shocked and they would rush to him to lift his body up. Sometimes tears would come from his eyes, and sometimes he would roar in ecstasy. And hearing the roar, Maharaj Pratap Rudra would put his hands over his ears because the sound was so loud. And then Mahaprabhu would sometimes collapse to the floor, and tears would be coming out from his eyes like water from a syringe that has been pressed. It would shoot out, and sometimes there was saliva and there was foaming at the mouth. So at this time, although Maharaj Pratap Rudra was very faithful and devoted by nature, and he believed that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Lord, when he saw this saliva coming out and the tears and everything, a slight doubt came into his mind that can this really be the Supreme Lord? And then he went back after the Sankirtan was over. That night he had a dream. And Lord Jagannath was there, and his body was all dusty and dirty. Tears were flowing from his eyes, and there was saliva also at the mouth. And when King Pratap Rudra in the dream went to offer obeisances and touch the lotus feet of the Lord, Jagannath immediately replied, wait, wait, how come you want to touch me? Don't you see that my body is dirty with dust? And don't you see that I'm contaminated with tears and saliva? Just some hours ago, you found me repulsive. You thought that I was not worthy of being touched. And now how is it that when I have all these contaminations in my body, that you want to come and touch me? So how is this possible, my dear Pratap Rudra? And Lord Jagannath was smiling as he was speaking like this. It was me who was dancing there. Don't you understand? And then as Maharaj Pratap Rudra actually looked up, he was astonished to see that no more was it Lord Jagannath on the altar. It was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there. And he was also in the same position that he was in the Sankirtan while dancing the earlier on in the day. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then began to speak and said the same thing that Jagannath had told him. My dear king, how is it that you are approaching me now to touch me? At that time you found me repulsive, but now that I am here on the altar, you find me worthy of your your homage and your respect and your worship, and you're coming to touch me. And again Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was smiling. And when Maharaj Pratap Rudra saw this dream, he immediately woke up. He was struck with wonder and he did not understand what to say. So from that day on, he developed very firm faith that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was none other than Lord Krishna and Lord Jagannath. So by this most extraordinary dream, Lord Jagannath actually demonstrated to Maharaj Pratap Rudra that he was indeed the same person as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the meanwhile, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had returned from South India, and in South India at Vidyanagar or nearby on the banks of the Godavari, he had already had long philosophical and theological discussions with Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai had been the governor of Vidyanagar, the very place that the Sakshi Gopal deity was earlier. And on behalf of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, Ramananda Rai was the governor there. So Mahaprabhu had had very nice, wonderful conversations with him. And before he left, he had asked Ramananda Rai to come to Jagannath Puri for good, to leave his service as a governor and come. No more political life for you. Come back and serve Lord Jagannath in Puri. That was the instruction that Mahaprabhu had given Ramananda Rai. And Ramananda Rai had begged for some time. He said that I need some time to wind up my affairs here. And as soon as everything is settled, then I will come, take permission from the king, and I will join you forever in Jagannath Puri. So Ramananda Rai wound up his affairs in Vidyanagar. He came to Maharaj Pratap Rudra in Jagannath Puri. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra was very happy to see Ramananda Rai. And although Ramananda Rai was such a great asset to have as a governor or a minister on his behalf, no king would have liked to lose such an asset. But because Ramananda Rai said that he wanted to quit his service as a governor to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, so King Pratap Rudra very happily agreed. And he said, certainly it will be a privilege. And he gave the Ramananda Rai so many facilities, including a full pension of whatever he was earning at that time for the rest of his life. And he said, normally pension for a person who has been earning a job, a pension figure is much lesser than the last salary that was being drawn. And usually if the employee is very good, the employer doesn't want to let him go. But Maharaj Pratap Rudra understood that devotional principles were higher. So he released him and he made all arrangements for his comfortable stay in Jagannath Puri. So Ramananda Rai was very happy at this, to see this attitude of the king. And he was thinking also that somehow or other I must make sure that the Lord will give darshan to King Pratap Rudra. But he also understood how difficult a task it was. He had already heard about Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's experience and he was very cautious and he didn't know what to do. So Ramananda Rai anyway went to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great pleasure upon arrival in Jagannath Puri. And when he met Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Rai offered his obeisances. Once again the Lord embraced him as he had in Vidyanagar, and both of them began to cry tears of ecstasy again as they had in Vidyanagar, because their dealings had been very intimate. And the other devotees here who were watching this were struck with wonder and they were astonished. And then Ramananda Rai in his mind thought that maybe I should not directly ask, but I will just glorify the king so that Mahaprabhu's hearts will melt upon hearing the glories of King Pratap Rudra as such a wonderful devotee. So Ramananda Rai said that I duly informed King Prataprudra of your order for me to retire from service. By your grace, the king was pleased to relieve me of these material duties. I said, Your Majesty, I am now not willing to engage in political activities. I desire only to stay at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kindly give me permission. Ramananda Rai continued that when I submitted this proposal, the king immediately became very pleased upon hearing your name. Indeed, he instantly rose from his throne and embraced me. My dear Lord, as soon as the king heard your holy name, he was immediately overwhelmed by great ecstatic love. Catching my hand, he displayed all the symptoms of love. So we can see the degree of faith and devotion that King Prataprudra had. Ramananda Rai was not any ordinary devotee. He was the most exalted amongst the associates of Mahaprabhu, along with others like Swarup Damodar Goswami. So he could understand that this was genuine devotion here in the heart of the king. The king was not faking this. So Ramananda Rai continued, as soon as he heard my petition, he immediately granted me a pension without reductions. Thus the king granted me a full salary as a pension and requested me to engage without anxiety in the service of your lotus feet. And then Maharaj Prataprudra very humbly said, I am most fallen and abominable, and I am unfit to receive an interview with the Lord. One's life will be successful if one engages in his service. So this is the nature of King Prataprudra. Although he was such a big person, so wealthy, so opulent, so powerful, so famous, he had all good material qualities, but still his humility was extremely touching. And that is why Ramananda Rai has glorified him like this for his humble demeanor in his Jagannath Vallabha Nataka. And then Maharaj Prataprudra said to Ramananda Rai that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is directly Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, and he is very merciful, and I hope that in a future birth he will award me an interview. Just see, it reminds us of the pastime. Which pastime? When one person had been hidden by Srivas Thakur in a secret place in Srivas Thakur's place, when the nocturnal kirtans would go on, and Srivas Thakur had said that, well, you should stay here, but Mahaprabhu doesn't like anyone but his regular devotees to be there. He said, no, I will hide, and I'm a very austere person. I drink only milk. And at that time Mahaprabhu had detected that there was someone here. And when he was detected and he was asked to leave, then Mahaprabhu had declared that actually this person will not get my darshan, will not get my lotus feet for a million births. And when this was told to him, he was jumping with joy. Only 1 million births, only 1 million births. I will see Mahaprabhu after 1 million births. So he was now assured that he would see Mahaprabhu, that he would get the shelter of Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Even though it was 1 million births, but what is 1 million births in the time span of eternity? We have been here for millions and trillions of births, countless births. So in all this period, to just wait another million births to get the shelter of Mahaprabhu, what was it? Nothing. Short time. So by this attitude, he won over Mahaprabhu's heart, who gave him immediate shelter in this life. So here we see this mood of King Prataprudra, who is saying that I hope that in a future birth he will award me an interview. Of course, as time passed on, because King Prataprudra was living there where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing his pastimes, his desire to have darshan of the Lord began to get more and more intense and intolerable. But at least at this time, when Ramananda Rai had just newly arrived in Jagannath Puri, this was his state. And then Ramananda Rai continued to extol the virtues of King Pratap Rudra. And he said, "My dear Lord, I don't think that there is even a fraction of Maharaj Pratap Rudra's loving ecstasy in me." In other words, Ramananda Rai wanted to tell King Pratap Rudra, wanted to tell Mahaprabhu, that Pratap Rudra is a much greater and better devotee than me. I have seen the depth and the intensity of his ecstasy. At the very mention of your name, he exhibited symptoms of ecstasy. Here is a real devotee. So Ramananda Rai did not directly ask Mahaprabhu to give him an audience. Very intelligently, he just glorified Maharaj Pratap Rudra. So the hint was clear, but it was not expressly stated. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Ramananda Rai, you are the foremost of all the devotees of Krishna. Therefore, whoever loves you is certainly a very fortunate person." Mahaprabhu pretended as if he didn't get the hint. So he went on in a different angle now. He took the subject on a tangent. So he said, "Because you are the greatest devotee of Krishna, so whoever loves you is certainly a very fortunate person, and he will also receive the mercy of Krishna, because you are a great devotee of Krishna. Because the king has shown so much love for you, Lord Krishna will certainly accept him." He didn't say, "I will accept him." He said, "Lord Krishna will definitely accept him." And then he quotes this famous verse from the Adi Puran. "Yam bhakta jana partha name bhakta chate jana mad bhakta nam chaye bhakta tene bhakta tama mata." Lord Krishna told Arjuna, "Those who are my direct devotees are actually not my devotees. But those who are the devotees of my devotees are factually my devotees." In other words, Mahaprabhu is trying to say that because you are a dear devotee of Krishna and because Maharaj Pratap Rudra loves you, so Maharaj Pratap Rudra is a genuine devotee of Krishna because he is your servant. And then he again quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna has been answering Uddhava's query. This is from the Uddhava Gita. "Adara paricharyaya sarvangair abhivandanam madbhakta purabhyadikam sarvabhuteshu manmatihi mad artheshu acheshtacha vachasamat gunenaman mayarpanamcha manasah sarva kama vibhajanam." "My devotees take great care and respect in rendering me service. They offer obeisances to me with all their bodily limbs. They worship other devotees and find all living entities related to me. For me, they engage the entire energies of their bodies. They engage the power of speech in the glorification of my qualities and form. They also dedicate their minds unto me and try to give up all kinds of material desires. Thus my devotees are characterized." And then he quoted another famous verse. "Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam." This is a verse that Lord Shiva speaks to Goddess Durga. "My dear Devi, although the Vedas recommend the worship of demigods, the worship of Lord Vishnu is the highest. But higher than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the rendering of service to the Vaishnavas who are related to Lord Vishnu. Tadiya. Tadiyanam sevanam. Or samarchanam." So the word tadiya is very important. It means that which is related to. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also, Srila Rupa Goswami has elaborated on this tadiya sevanam. And he has mentioned that as one of the 64 principles of devotional service. And he has said, Tadiya means everything related to Krishna. For example, Jiva Goswami comments on this and says, the word Tadiya in this context includes the river Ganga, the river Yamuna, the Tulasi plant, it includes mother cow, it includes Vaishnavas, and so on. So worship of the Ganges, of Yamuna, of Tulasi, of Vaishnavas, of cows is all considered directly as an Anga or a limb of Bhakti. For example, worship of the cow and worship of Tulasi is also done by those who may not be devotees of Krishna, but those who are followers of Vedic culture worship Ganges, Yamuna, Tulasi, cows. But they don't do it in a spirit of devotion, not as an act of devotional service. So for them, these activities become punya or pious activities. But when Vaishnavas perform this in the spirit of devotion to Krishna, understanding the intimate and devotional connection that these things have to Krishna, then these activities of serving Mother Ganges, Mother Yamuna, Tulasi Devi, Vaishnavas and the cows, they directly become an Anga or an act of Bhakti. So therefore service to Vaishnavas is directly Bhakti. So Bhakti doesn't mean only service to Krishna directly. More importantly, as Krishna himself has stated and as the Acharyas have reiterated time and time again, that service to the devotees is even higher than service directly to Krishna. So that is the spirit of devotional service, where one doesn't consider oneself directly a devotee, one doesn't consider oneself to have a direct relationship with Radha Krishna or Krishna Balaram or Gaur Nithai, but one considers oneself as the humble servant and assistant of the other devotees in their service to the lordships. This is the mood that Mahaprabhu is emphasizing in his teachings time and time again. And that's why he's quoting so many verses from the scriptures. Again, Mahaprabhu continues to quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam this time. Durapahyalpa tapasah seva vaikuntha vatmasu yatropagiyate nityam deva devo janardanaha. Those whose austerity is meager can hardly obtain the service of the pure devotees progressing on the path back to the kingdom of Godhead, Vaikuntha. Pure devotees engage 100% in glorifying the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of the demigods and the controller of the living entities. So this verse was spoken by Vidura in his conversation with Maitreya Muni. So at this time, Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Lord Nityananda, etc. were present on this occasion. So Mahaprabhu heard what Ramananda Rai had to say in glorification of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. Ramananda Rai's intention was that when he would glorify the king, then Mahaprabhu's heart would melt, and he would say, all right, bring him to me. But since Mahaprabhu appeared to not take the hint, he went on a different angle and he said, oh really, he is such a nice devotee, wonderful. Because he has offered you the service and has loved you so much, therefore his success in life is certain. Because you are a great devotee of Krishna and he wants to assist you. So his success is assured. So Mahaprabhu in this way indirectly blessed Maharaj Pratap Rudra. Internally, Mahaprabhu was very pleased with Maharaj Pratap Rudra because of his spirit of service not only to the Lord but also for his spirit of service to the devotees of the Lord. So if we want to receive the mercy of the Lord, this is the attitude we have to try to cultivate. We have to be in the spirit of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra still had not achieved his objective of getting a darshan. So his efforts will continue and we will hear about his efforts tomorrow and then see what plans the devotees hatched to see that this great devotee's desires would be fulfilled and how Maharaj Pratap Rudra actually received ultimately the mercy of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So we will hear about this tomorrow. Thank you very much. Maharaj Pratap Rudra ki jai, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Are there any questions or comments very briefly? The question is, why was Mahaprabhu avoiding King Pratap Rudra? Because in those days, the kings were guided by the great rishis and sages. The answer is that it is true, but that was way in the Vedic times. The renunciants would come and they would bless the kings and they would go away. But mostly the council of ministers or the council of the brahmanas were the ones who really advised the king. And these brahmanas were mostly householders. Like for example, in Dasharat Maharaj's time in court, there was King Vasishtha, there was Vasishtha Muni, and there were so many others, Dhaumya and so on, who were advising the king. Mahaprabhu's point is that for a one who is living in a formal sannyasi life, for him to be associated with someone who is in a position which is generally associated with sense gratification, it would not be correct. It would set a wrong example. Because generally those who are kings, they indulge in a lot of sense gratification. So it would not be right for him to be seen in the company of such a king. Inasmuch as a sannyasi, it would not be right and proper for him to be seen in the association of a woman. So that was the reasoning that he gave here. And he quoted some verses to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Any other questions? Yes. What is the position of Golok Vrindavan compared to Navadvip Dham in terms of opulence and the mellows? So what is the relationship between Navadvip Dham and Golok Vrindavan Dham in regards to the opulence and the mellows? The mellows are similar. Navadvip Dham, as I have explained earlier, is meant to taste the mellows of Vrindavan Dham. Navadvip Dham exists as a place where the mood of Vrindavan is relished and tasted. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exists for the sake of tasting the mood of the devotees of Vrindavan, specifically the gopis. Vrindavan is called Madhurya Dham because even though there is unlimited opulence there, much more than the opulence of Vaikuntha, but the chief quality that overwhelms all other qualities including opulence is that of Madhurya or sweetness. So Vrindavan is called Madhurya Dham. Navadvip is also non-different from Golok Vrindavan and therefore it also has unlimited opulence. It also has sweetness, but its predominant quality is Audarya. Udar, munificence, mercy, compassion. Because there, the Lord has appeared in His most compassionate, munificent form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who distributes the mellow of Vrindavan to one and all without discrimination. So this is the difference in the mood. One is Madhurya Dham, the other is Audarya Dham. At the same time, they are one. They are not different from each other. So we will stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.